generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond. This is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All right, good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, April 10, 2026. We're all still here, thank goodness. Okay, yeah, right? It's time for some Coastal Windage. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. As you know, the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show on broadcast radio. We'll get back to that. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago. We didn't have time to finish the thought. I want to finish that thought this week if we can, because it's just really a special thing that we have a local radio station. If you went back 25 or 50 years and you said, oh, we've got a local radio station, it might be like, and?
Yeah, more common.
Right, but now it's, you ask somebody that's maybe 15, like, radio? You mean like satellite? No. No. Like on your dial on your car? You mean your home stereo? What is that? So it's just the world has changed so much that a local broadcast radio station is as rare as a manual transmission car.
Oh, yeah.
If I can make that weird and non-direct analogy. Okay, that's what we do here on the show. We get crazy. Let's get crazy. Okay. We're still in the undisclosed location.
The bunker.
Yep. Which sadly seems appropriate these days, but we'll be back. I just got news from the suits. We'll be back in the old digs. Hopefully May 1st. Oh. May 1st, back in the Coastal Windage studio, the refurbished, sphere-like Coastal Windage studio. Okay. We're here every Friday morning.
Could you imagine if somebody wanted to make a side of one of the buildings in downtown just like straight LED like screen?
Oh, don't give people ideas. No.
Nobody would allow it to happen. It would just be.
I mean, you would hope, but
it would be like right out of a Parks and Rec TV show.
We live in a cult of technology. If it has some kind of AI element or internet connection or something, like don't put any ideas in anybody's head. Okay, we're here every Friday, and I do mean every Friday, whether I'm here, whether Crystalyn's here, we're here. This show lives on. Okay. And in fact, our topics today, we're going to talk about last week's show because it was quite a significant show. Other topics today, as I'm sure everybody's aware, it's Pooper Scooper Week.
Oh.
Yes, right? And we want to talk about a Coastside infrastructure survey sent out by Congressperson Sam Liccardo's office. Mm-hmm. So that will be interesting and fun to look at what's on that survey. Okay, let's get to the air quality report because, bling, it's bling time for the air quality. Let's remember, 0 to 50, incredible. Start zero being the most incredible. 51 to 100, pretty good. Over 100 is really irrelevant here. Today in Half Moon Bay, one. Redwood City, the Los Angeles choking total of 6.
Ooh,
I know it's terrible there.
They've come such a long way.
Redwood City, yes.
I mean, sorry. I thought you said LA.
Oh. No, LA's like, come along, smog.
I was watching a documentary or something, and they were talking about how they have cleaned up their act so significantly over the last couple decades.
Well, good for LA. Today in Santa Cruz, 10. Today in El Granada, 0.
Ooh, El Granada.
And in Petaluma, California,
oh,
also zero.
Interesting.
Yes.
So, I will say Petaluma's been coming up a lot in my life.
Really?
Yeah, how so? I know. Just so many people I know are just like taking excursions to Petaluma. It's very.
That's pretty nice.
It's very interesting.
It's pretty nice. Okay, I was just there this past weekend. Well, actually, I was out at Dillon Beach, but you go up the 101, Petaluma, and take a left and head out to the ocean. Okay, let's get right into it. Last week's show. So today is our 359th show over the last 9 years. We've had many impressive guests. We've covered many important topics. But possibly, we've never had a topic or discussion of, no, not possibly. We have never had as a segment or a topic for discussion the previous week's show. It's kind of like you can go to the KHMB website, go to the what they call a podcast page, which is not true. These are not podcasts. They are recordings of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And our show is a live show, so it's just a recording of our live show. It's not a podcast. There's no edits here. There's no cuts. This is happening now in real time, and then it's recorded. So, anyways, you can go to the KHMB website and listen to the show, listen to last week's show. We've had topics run across. Oh, and if you want to call in about last week's show or anything else, 650-477-1244, as we had a couple of calls last week. Because the guest that you had, Crystalline, was so relevant and important. We've had topics run across multiple shows, and we've had topics that got bumped from one show to the next, as we have today. But we've never had a segment about a previous show until today. Last week's show, with Shooting the Breeze live interview guest Betsy Milne, who is the owner of Home Helpers, which is a home... home in care services company, might have been, well, let's just say one of our most important, impactful shows ever. I've had people come to me already and tell me that they listen to the show. All right, but I probably shouldn't say this, but one person's like, you know, usually I put the show on and I vacuum and, you know, it's kind of in the background. This person said, but this time I literally sat down and like was taking notes and listening.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Right, exactly. So I've had a couple of people said they listened to the show and it either inspired them to change their outlook on the future or what they're doing or their outlook or their approach to their elder years or to take some specific action they wouldn't have taken had they not listened to the show. That's impact.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's just me talking to my best friend.
Oh, so Betsy's a good friend of yours?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I don't know. Sorry, that did not come across. Yes, Betsy is my best friend.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. Okay, well, let's just briefly recap for us. So,
for all those who care, she will be my maid of honor.
Wow. Okay. I guess I should get to know Betsy because I will hopefully...
Yes.
I've gotten a...
Save the date.
I've gotten a notification. I haven't gotten an official, you know, fancy... invite to the big Crystalline wedding, but looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so she'll be your maid of honor. So let's just briefly recap for our listeners. Home Helpers, is this specific to seniors or is this anybody that needs help staying in their home? And when we say staying in their home, not rent, not being evicted for something, this is about health situations,
yeah,
and
health
being
and
able
safety
to function in your home as opposed to having to go to a rehab facility or an assisted care facility or something like that.
So it is available for all adults. So if somebody's had a hip surgery and maybe they don't have a significant other that could help take care of them or a child who can come stay with them or whatever the case may be, you can also call Home Helpers for that. So it's any type of adult in home support.
Is this a person that comes and lives in your house with you, or how does this work? Do they have that feature?
I believe they do, but the really big majority of it is people coming in for 4-hour shifts. And it could be two different caretakers coming in for two separate shifts or, you know, whatever the case may be. But But yeah, it's usually kind of like short stints to just make sure like they're having their breakfast and they're having lunch and they have company and somebody, and I don't, you know, work for home helpers, so apologies if I get this incorrect, but it's non-medical care. So it's, they're not going to be the one to give people insulin shots or anything like that, but they can be the ones that are there making sure that the person is, you know, taking their medication or alerting the loved one if they're like, hey, like, mom's not seeming to go take her medication and we've reminded her to take her medication, but she's not doing it. So like that kind of eyeballs. They have also, the caregivers also, you know, just, you know, keep an eye out and make sure that, especially in the case of seniors, like that they are being taken care of when the caretaker is not there, also assessing that they are being taken care of in the other parts of their life. They will help the family stay in the know and, you know, just help manage their life. And then they'll also help take people to doctor's appointments and,
so they will transport them to places just needed. To doctor's appointments, or like, let's say the person wants to go to the bowling alley. Will they take them there for just to get out of the house?
That I am not entirely sure. And I don't want to speak out of turn. So if that's a legit question, please feel free to call home helpers. But they will, yeah, they will make sure that they get to their doctor's appointments if needed. And, yeah, just and also to something we were talking about off air is they will help. Betsy and her team are super knowledgeable about the different aspects, especially of senior care, and especially with Betsy having gone through it herself with her dad. So let's say somebody gets a diagnosis and they're not really sure what to do next, whether that's should we schedule follow-up appointments or do we need to seek XYZ or whatever, because Betsy has so much experience, she can also work as like a sounding board, and so I think a lot of the conversations that she has with people's families in particular is like who should they reach out to for next steps. And I know that she has a lot of strong partnerships with other in-home care that is like medical, that does actually do the medical stuff, or hospice or palliative care, or you know what it is. So she has all these great partnerships that she can help say like, hey, that's out of our realm, but I know that's in the realm of, you know, this in this group, so let me get you connected to that group. So she's a great resource for all of that stuff.
So home helpers and Betsy can provide counseling and guidance and recommendations, and then home helpers service does, when they're in home, I think you said it starts with like a 4-hour home assessment, like, right, they walk through the house and, you know, what do we got here?
Yeah, not necessarily 4 hours, I mean, but it does
some kind of home
it
assessment.
Starts with a home assessment. Yeah. Yes, yeah, that is the first step, so everybody gets to know each other. I know that Betsy really, and I believe she said this on the show, like at the end of the home assessment, she doesn't go into them saying like home helpers is going to be the thing for you. Like, she's there to have a conversation with the person who needs the care or and their family and whoever else needs to be involved, and really discuss what is happening, what the potential options are, making sure that they're a good fit, because she doesn't want to be a part of a problem where if somebody's being forced to have care put on them by their family, you know, like, she'll take that into an account. So she does her very best to make sure that if somebody enters into an agreement with home helpers, that it is going to be the best for everybody involved. And if they don't, then they don't, and that is fine, and she will help them get to the right group.
So in addition to that, does home helpers provide physical services like food prep and laundry and things like that?
Yes. So it's on their website that it'll, you know, they'll help, you know, they'll make a sandwich or, you know, whatever. I don't think it's, you know, going to be some grand Italian dinner, but they will make sure that somebody is properly nutritionally fed. And yes, there's light, quote unquote, light housekeeping. But I have heard that there's sometimes scenarios where they do a home assessment or somebody's coming home from, you know, maybe 2 months in care and their house has been neglected for 2 months. People can work with home helpers to have the house brought up to a good and safe place before somebody comes home.
For example, grab bars or a ramp or something like that?
That I'm not sure. I don't know if it's so much handy services. That I think would be a little bit more in between. I think she could guide a family to say, like, hey, the house needs to be made mobility safe. Yeah. And then, you know, here, you know, some local handy people that could help with that. So I don't think she's necessarily coordinating that, but something like a, you know, making sure that the house has had all like the rotten food removed and the carpets are, you know, been vacuumed and the laundry's been done. Like she'll help with that.
I mean, the reason I wanted to double back on this is because, I mean, I think that probably everybody listening has either already gone through this with a family member or themselves. Mm-hmm. I know I have. I'm going through it right now with my mother-in-law, where, you know, you've reached an age or a condition where being in your own house is what you want, but is not as easy as it used to be. And the dignity and the security and the peace of mind of being in your comfort of your own house is just so important. You know, rehab facilities, even the best ones, are not your home. And so having a service like Home Helpers that can help people figure out a way to keep that dignity, to keep that security and that that joy and that happiness of having your stuff and, you know where everything is. I mean, I hope I'm not calling Betsy for a few years for myself, but, you know, I walk around my house at night with the lights off because I know where everything is, right? And so that kind of familiarity really helps a person's peace of mind, and especially as you age and there's a lot of things going on in your life, it just be so much nicer to be in the house that you're familiar with and the smells and the, you know, your pets and whatever. Well, I really appreciate you having Betsy on, and again, if people want more information about that, and I think this is a topic that affects or will affect everybody at some point, go ahead and go to Home Helpers, type Home Helpers of San Mateo County into your web browser. It'll come up. You can go to the KHMB website and look up last week's show and listen to that. Okay, please do. Okay, thank you for that, Crystalline.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Spring Fest is coming. Are you aware of this? No, not Beer Fest. It's, though that's something to consider, not to mention a hilarious movie.
Is this the one in Pescadero?
No, actually.
Oh, there's one in Pescadero.
I believe this one's at Quarry Park. Maybe I'm wrong. Thought it was in Quarry Park. It's in Quarry Park. The address was weirdly Columbus Avenue. Like, usually people just say Quarry Park. Like Columbus Avenue. Again, and in El Granada, like I've lived there for 25 years. Like I barely know how to get around.
Hot off the press.
Nice.
Yes, we can take them to a bowling alley. So Home Helpers can take. Hi, Betsy. people, yes, they can take people on the fun excursions as well.
Which also super important to be able to get out of your house. You want to be in your house, but you don't want to be trapped in your house and never be able to leave. So that is an amazing service to offer as well. Too bad there's not many bowling alleys left. I just mentioned that because every time I drive past Sea Bowl, I just have to wipe a little tear away. Okay, so anyway, Spring Fest. community celebration at Quarry Park, and apparently there's one. I mean, it's spring, so I imagine there's a lot. But here on the upper coast side, Pescadero being the lower coast side, up on the upper coast side, we've got the community celebration at Quarry Park on Saturday, April 25th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's free, woo! So that's awesome. Activities include face painting, fun crafts, resource booths, live performances by the Sterling Bubbles, and Fun SQ. Fun
Squared?
It's Fun, apostrophe, capital S, capital Q. How would you pronounce that?
Fun Squared?
If anybody knows what, how to pronounce that, give us a call, 650-477-1244. Do it. There'll be food there by Sage Bakehouse. For their savory pies.
Oh, my gosh, so good.
Yeah, are you a pie person?
Not the sweet pie, but a savory pie. They're excellent.
A savory pie would be like what, pumpkin pie? Pecan pie? What's a savory pie?
Have you not been to Sage Bakehouse?
Can I say that I've never eaten a piece of pie? The only pie I've ever eaten are those Hostess ones that would come in the wrapper, like the.
Okay, we've Frank, all gasped.
Frank just threw up in his mouth. Okay. There. You know what the one? Yeah.
Big plug for Sage Bakehouse. Okay. So the only savory pies that I have had are Sage Bakehouse and at Cameron's Pub, because I think technically shepherd's pie would count as a savory pie, but there is. It's like meat pie. So it's the pie crust.
Oh, like a...
But it's filled, so there was
like
one,
a chicken pot pie?
Kind of, yes. Okay. Yes.
My dad would make me eat those when I was a kid.
But very much better than the store-bought ones. But, like, even... I was there last week sometime, and they had one that was like a beautiful chicken kind of... Almost like a chicken... stew almost that was in the meat. Yeah, it's great. And there's always like different flavors and
okay.
Yeah. If you are a savory person and you like carbs and bread, it's great.
I mean, who don't like carbs and bread? I mean, come on. Okay, so food by Sage Bakehouse at Springfest. This is sponsored by San Mateo County Parks Foundation and San Mateo County Parks. So check that out. That'll be pretty cool. I just want to, as we're doubling back on things, I want to double back. I'm still on the shrinkflation cost of living bent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remind people. First, it was $13 for a 12er of Coke. A couple weeks ago, it was $21.99 for a six-pack roll of toilet paper. Now it's $8.99 for a gallon of diesel. So this weekend I went on a brief trip, or last weekend, I guess it was last weekend. Passed through, we went up to Marin. We had to buy some groceries for this group of people that I was hanging out with. Wait, 5 minutes? What? No. Oh my goodness. We're already, what is happening here? Okay, I'm out of practice here. The pace is off. Anyway, so went to a Raley's in Petaluma, California. Two full carts. Alcohol, meat, cheese, bread, fruit. Two full carts. What do you think that came to?
$7,000.
Yes, that was my guess. Because me and my friends were like, well, let's just, you know, ballpark. What do you think? I was like $900. This is nine. Based on the fact that for my household of three light eating people, our weekly spend combined Half Moon Bay Safeway and New Leaf is about $500. So my guess was, yeah, like $900. And I thought it could be more than that. Two full carts, all that stuff, $550.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
In California?
In Petaluma.
What?
Yeah.
No wonder people going there.
I mean, do I have to drive to Petaluma to do my grocery shopping now? It's given the gas and stuff, it's almost a wash.
That's,
I mean, that was ridiculous. I was stunned. So I was stunned.
Well, you know, San Mateo County keeps getting that award for most expensive everything.
Well, I guess if I could take some perverse... pride. Here in the Bay Area, California, we are with this idiocy that's going on with the tariffs and the war and all the stuff that's driving up prices, that's just making the cost of living really ridiculous. That doesn't have to be. Set that aside. Mm-hmm. We here in the Bay Area, California, which has always been kind of one of the most expensive. Yeah. We are the point population taking the hit. We're kind of like the breakwater. Yeah, everybody behind us is good. The cost of living is going up, but it's like exponentially going up here in California. And apparently the closer you get to the water, Half Moon Bay, it's even more expensive. So there's some
luxury tax to everything.
I mean, I guess, but it's not that way in Florida. I mean, it's getting more expensive in Florida, but
Florida also has Florida Man.
It does. It certainly does. I guess we can be proud that we're the heat shield for the rest of the country. You know, like we're going to take the hit. I wish we are paying the $4.60 a gallon the rest of the country is complaining about. I mean, I wish we were paying that before this whole thing.
Yeah.
So the rest of the country, give me a break. Okay.
It's so funny. Just in the gas thing. Like, I remember. It probably must have been the 80s, so I would have been 10 or under. But I just remember when my mom was so flummoxed at the fact that gas had hit a dollar. Like, I just remember her just, like, being at the gas station, looking at the pump for her little red Toyota Tercel. And she just could not wrap her head around when gas hit $1. Like, it's just wild that things inflate so much over time.
I mean, inflation is a normal thing, right? You go and look in, you know, some book or something. It's like you could get a full meal at a restaurant in New York City for $1.65, a steak dinner and stuff. Okay, so that's just a normal course of things. But the last 6 weeks has been out of control. And here in California, it's just exponentially. Whatever it's happening in the rest of the country, it's like 3x here.
I feel bad for the people who have to commute because I'm so lucky that my commute is 2 miles each direction. So it's like, yes, I had to put $100 of gas in my tank to fill it up, which was shocking of its own. But that's going to last me like 2.5 weeks because I don't have to go very far. The people who have to commute, oh, Lord, I feel so bad for them.
Right. Okay. Ponder that. Get this punched into your speed dial, 650-477-1244, and we'll be right back after these commercial messages.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMB. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Okay, and we're back, and got to have the interns do something. So during the break, they dug out an email regarding, I guess, the last topic. Hopefully, we'll see. Here, reading, looking at this for the first time, always fun. From listener Lord Affordability. Okay, that sounds like it's in the ballpark. Subject line, Coastside Cost of Living. All right. Lord Affordability writes, I got a solution to your grocery grumblings, Reuben. Move to Iowa and grow your own food. Well, that's practical. Lord continues, there's nothing else that can be done here but suck it up and enjoy the beautiful view. I guess that's kind of what you were saying. Like, it's a luxury tax. Like, if you want to enjoy this out here, you know, this beautiful place that we live, costs.
Yeah, but I am not in the suck it up buttercup camp on that.
No?
No, there are things that could be done. California has a real love of over-regulating certain industries and aspects of life that drive our costs up. And
But you were just saying how L.A. is so much cleaner now. Isn't regulatory...
Oh, some regulation is needed.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I, especially in recent years, I get very frustrated at some of the regulations that come down the pipe that are, like, overly regulatory in one area while another area is being completely ignored that needs first string regulations, and here we are working on like fifth string regulations on something that's already regulated. Like, there is just very uneven the way that Sacramento tends to
let PG&E do whatever they
dive
want.
In on things. Yeah, exactly. So I do think that there's absolutely things that could be done in Sacramento to ease the burden on the middle class and below, and those things do not get done.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, speaking of Sacramento and that morass, it's Pooper Scooper Week. Hey, it's Pooper Scooper Week. Where's my fireworks and celebratory? It's Pooper Scooper Week. Come on. Yeah, come on. Pooper Scooper Week. Okay.
All right.
Wow. I was so excited. Okay. As I'm sure everybody is aware, April 6th through the 12th, which is right now, the first week of the month of April, is dedicated to Pooper Scooper Awareness. Yes, thank you. A week dedicated to reminding pet owners to clean up after their pets and care for shared spaces. International Pooper Scooper Week was established by the Association of Professional Animal Waste Specialists. You're just like,
which we have here.
We do? What?
Oh!
What?
A duty on call or something like that. Yeah, if you watch any of the parades that have horses.
But the Association of Professional Animal Waste Specialists?
We've got professional waste specialists.
Okay,
here.
But I was like, honey, I'm going to a conference in Toledo, Ohio. Is that for IT or something? No, it's for my professional organization, the Association of Professional Animal Waste Specialists. Seems...
Everybody needs a guild.
It seems very niche. Anyways, International Pooper Scooper Week was established to spread awareness, not disease, spread awareness of the importance of picking up after our dogs. Locally here, the Granada Community Services District is highlighting local Pooper Scooper Week in support of the International Pooper Scooper Week. So as part of that, free poop bag dispensers are available throughout El Granada medians. Well, free poop bags are available in dispensers throughout the El Granada medians. They are stocked regularly for community use. Thank you, GCSD.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever need additional bags, feel free to contact them directly. Rather than, like, I've seen people do this, and people.
Is it put it in the bag and then drop the bag?
No, well.
Because that's another one.
That's one, but they'll go to and take, like, 50 of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, stock up. Like, no, we have a little dispenser roll that attaches to the leash of our dog. It goes everywhere with the dog.
Yeah.
So that there's never a time when we don't have a bag.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of times where I go to pull the bag out and it's empty. I have literally gone home.
Oh, me too.
And come back and gotten the poop.
And then I assume that whatever house, because I'm walking in my neighborhood, and then I assume every house has, like, you know, the doorbell cam or whatever.
Yes, yes.
So I literally will, like, look at their doorbell cam and say, I promise I am coming right back.
Totally. Absolutely with you. That's because we're responsible adults, Crystalline. Well, one of us is. Yeah, exactly. I self-corrected on that. Again, Pooper Scooper Week to help educate on the importance of cleaning up. My brother lives in Colorado, and he was mentioning how the thaw is happening there, which is always a dicey time.
Ugh.
Because in snowy places, people take their dogs out and they just poop in the snow and it gets snow comes on top of it and whatever, and it disappears. But come spring thaw, there's a whole pile of a winter's worth of poop.
I think 2 weeks ago there was a picture floating around on social media of, like, it was a street in New York where it was just all it was just like poop pies all over.
So you still see in TV shows and older movies especially, where people will be smoking a cigarette and just flick it out their car window, or walking on the street, throw it on the street, or they're on a lake and they just throw it into the lake. Well, we've kind of, not entirely, but we've mostly gotten past that, where like that's known to be not good. But the poop thing still is a problem. Yeah.
The craziest one I ever heard, which very well could be a myth, but even if it is a myth, it was really funny, that there was an HOA somewhere, a home association.
Homeowners Association.
That was trying to combat people not picking up after their dogs, that they had, everybody had to get their dog, if they were in this community, their dog's DNA had to be put on a little registry.
If there was
a stray poop, it would get tested.
Nope.
And then that owner would get a fine. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. No, that's going too far. This is where, like, people look in the mirror, like, have some kind of sense. Just sense. Okay, let's leave it at that. Here's reasons. Speaking of sense, here's some basic reasons to scoop the poop. It can get into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That we drink. That I just walked my dog past Barb's fish trap. And that little beach right there, the kids are always playing in, is the most polluted beach on the coast side here. And there's always kids playing there. And I think the study, I can't remember if it was MWSD or GACSD or one of the,
I think it was Surfrider.
Somebody. And the poop, the fecal matter that's in the water is not human fecal matter. It's animal fecal matter. So animal, like dog and stuff like that. So it can get into the water, not just the drinking water, but the ocean water. It can obviously spread disease and bacteria. It's poop, right? It's waste. Bodies get the waste out that includes bad stuff like disease and bacteria. It can attract pests to your property or anywhere. But for me, one of the number one reasons, you can step in it.
Yes.
Gross. Yuck. And then it gets in your car and your house and your shoes. And come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So I have a nice little lawn strip on the outside of my fence that runs along the street. That I spend time mowing and weeding, and you know, it's not the Ritz, but it looks pretty nice, and I'm proud of it. I just
can't
try to keep it nice.
I've seen you out there mowing it.
Yes, you have. Yes, and so, you know, a couple weeks ago, I walked by and there's a humongous pile of fresh dog poop, like just right there, huge. And I, you know, I'm apoplectic. Like, I don't have cameras, I don't believe in them, and so I'm just like, oh, you know, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna like stake this out, or like how do I shame this person?
Nice.
That just, so I like, I went in, I got a yard sign and I put some paper over it and I just wrote "you" in all caps, 3 exclamation points, arrows pointing down, pick up your poop, and I put the yard sign like right over the poop. It was a double-sided one, so the, you know, to just shame that person knows who they are. They know they did it.
But I'm just going to put out there that the person who left the dog poop will walk by and see your sign and is not going to feel any shame. Because if they did, they would have picked it up. So you are yelling into the void.
I know, but that, have you listened to the show? I mean, do you know me?
Coastal Void.
Oh, Frank's on it there. Yeah. Now renamed as the Coastal Voidage. I kind of knew that, and my wife was giving me a heart. She didn't want, she's like, don't, why, it would just, you know. And in fact, the next day I came by and the sign had been, like, I wouldn't say completely destroyed, but somebody had mangled it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking the person who felt shamed or whatever, or aggrieved that they had been called out.
No.
So then the next day I came by and the poop was gone. I was like, okay.
Yeah, because some other nice person.
Yeah, and I went inside. I'm like, hey, guess what? Wife, you know, my Mrs. Truthmaker, poop's gone. She's like, yeah, I know. I cleaned it up.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Some other nice person.
Come on. Pick up the poop, please. Come on. Pick it up.
Hey, people are gross.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
During the pandemic, I'm just going to say it's disgusting. I lost a pair of shoes because of people poop that was on the side of our building.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But what?
what does that have to do with the pandemic, though?
I mean, just, it was during the pandemic when people were at their most feral. I literally had to ask to have a bus stop that was in front of our office moved because we were having such a hard time with people waiting that hour for the bus, and we weren't near a public bathroom.
Pooping?
We had it all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. People are gross.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this Coastside Infrastructure Survey, because this could be kind of fun. Our local U.S. congressperson and friend of the show, Sam Liccardo, continues to keep his eye on the Coastside ball. This is actually not about the infrastructure. It's a couple... I would recommend, because he's our congressperson, but also because he truly cares about the Coastside and is very involved, to get sign up for his newsletter, okay? Because last week, Liccardo and California Senator Alex Padilla introduced legislation to expand the GGNRA, specifically the Rancho Corral de Tierra District, which is the GGNRA part behind El Granada that runs from El Granada up to Montero Mountain. That keeps that area...
How many horse ranches are up there?
Horse places?
Horse places.
Yeah, two or three. Larry DeYoung's been on this show and been worried about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Take that aside. Yeah, I mean, the horse thing, that's a constituency that is not happy. Dog walkers have had problems with GGNRA. We remember when first GGNRA first came in. The whole, like, dogs on leash, off leash. Somebody was tased because they had two small dogs off leash. Tased or ticketed or something on Montero Mountain. So that bike riders like myself, not thrilled with the huge grading of the road to the top of Montero Mountain. So there's all, you know, there's every constituency's got their beef, mm-hmm. including the horse riders. But the point being that it is protecting that area and keeping it from having houses mm-hmm. and other stuff there.
Yes.
Okay. So this bill proposes to allow the NPS to acquire the 896-acre property known as Scarper Ridge, which is south of Montero Mountain, which is pretty high up there, sits at the very top of the Cordillera. That's way above Quarry Park. You can't even see it from down here because the ridge lines go back and back and back. You can't see past Quarry Park, but beyond that are more ridge lines, including the very top one is Scarper Ridge. So they've acquired this property. It abuts the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission property that includes the backside of Montero Mountain and Crystal Springs Reservoir. The Rancho is currently 3,858 acres, so this would, you know, add another 1,000 acres or so. According to Senator Padilla, expanding the park's boundary to incorporate the Scarper Ridge property would allow the National Park Service to help protect critically threatened and endangered plants and wildlife while connecting public lands and hiking trails for locals and visitors alike to enjoy. Liccardo added, I have introduced this legislation to protect Scarper Ridge and its breathtaking coastal vistas for future generations. I like to ride my bike up there. I like to ride uphill, and that's a real hard climb to get all the way to the top of Scarper Ridge, but once you get up there, oh my goodness, because you pretty much have a 360 panorama down to the bay, up to the city, out to the ocean, wherever you want to look, it's as good as the top of Montero Mountain. The acreage is currently owned by Peninsula Open Space Trust, otherwise known as POST, which purchased the property in 2014 with a mixture of private and public funds. POST also doing good work to help mm-hmm. protect and conserve land. Okay, the bill seems like a no-brainer and was previously passed by the Senate by unanimous consent in December 2024. But these days, .. Who mm-hmm. knows? You know, no-brainers, obvious things. There's no such thing. All right, let's get to the infrastructure survey.
No brainers and no brains are two different things.
Yeah, right? Yes. So Congressman Liccardo has also issued a survey asking Coastsiders to rank their infrastructure priorities. I thought it was this big, long survey. So we liked, whenever there's a survey, I put the interns on it, take the survey, get back to us, like... I thought this was a big, long survey. It's really, it's one question. Mm-hmm. But it's a list of 11 different infrastructure topics, I guess, or things that need areas to be addressed. Areas, yeah. And you're supposed to rank them in 1 to 11 of your order of importance. So we're just going to run through what these are, because I think that's a pretty good comprehensive list. And we'll just see. I'll tell you what I ranked them, and we'll see. Maybe we'll see how you would rank them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or listeners, if you want to call in, if you've taken the survey, I mean, Congressman Liccardo is trying to get, you know, what we can't do them all. So what should we focus on? Okay. Here's the challenge. Here's the list. Impact of coastal erosion. This, and you're supposed to rank them 1 to 11 of what you think is the most important that needs to be addressed. Impact of coastal erosion, fire risk, power outages, reliability, poor drinking water quality or access, local street conditions, impact of coastal erosion on Highway 1, internet access at home, harbor access, safety and capacity, sewer system, access to trails, beaches, and other recreational assets, cellular service quality. Okay. So here's, I'll just quickly give you my rankings from most important in my mind, or for me.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, power outages, reliability.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous, the situation we have out here. Can't rely. A couple times a month, power goes out. Internet too. So number two for me is internet access at home. I work from home. Mm-hmm. Many people do. Everything is streaming and online now.
Yeah, every business.
So that's critical. And we still only have the one pipe, the one telecommunications pipe coming to the coastline. So that needs to be addressed. Three for me is sewer system. I think Sam's doing a good job. But sewer system to me is like a greater good thing of like, I want the sewer system and the Sam situation to be top-notch, state-of-the-art, because there's, whether it's dog poop or human poop, it's nasty, and I don't want it going in the ocean or affecting, you know, backing up and affecting people's lives. So sewer system number three.
Mm-hmm.
Local street conditions number four.
Mm-hmm.
We got some right in front of BK Autos, when you're coming south on Highway 1, and you're either going to turn left to go down Main Street or continue on Highway 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-lane. You can, in your big Bronco.
Yeah.
In a regular car, it's hard to go from the westbound lane to the eastbound lane because there are huge, massive chunks of the pavement missing right on the divider line of those two lanes. And so I have to kind of
It's Obispo Road Junior.
Yeah, Obispo Road. We talked about that. Right. It's terrible. I mean, come on. So local street conditions, number four for me. Five, poor drinking water quality access. Again, I think it's, you know, water is always a critical resource. And again, this is a greater good thing of like, you just want to make sure that everybody has access.
Mm-hmm.
and bolster that system and make sure that it's bulletproof, right? That the drinking water is always going to be safe and available.
Which the county has taken up that charge in the last year and done a lot in making sure all the wells get tested and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we have had progress in that one.
Right. And that's why I put it at five and not higher up, because I think it's fine, but let's just not let it degrade. That's important. It's critical. You have to have water. Six would be the impact of coastal erosion on Highway 1, because sooner or later, Surfers Beach, something's going to happen there. Mm-hmm. Like, something's going to happen. So that's important. Seven, cellular service quality. I think that's gotten a lot better. I don't want cell towers everywhere, but there's no landlines anymore. Mm-hmm. So this is something that you have to have now. So
I think the newer one in Montero got approved. And that one, they're trying to hide it. So they're making a faux third story on a building.
Oh, yeah.
Or
no,
second story.
No, that I'm not happy with that, because you know what? We have design guidelines about height restrictions and stuff. And that third story, one, it's in a private residence. So, like, who's getting money for that, or a private structure?
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to do one at the Sheriff Substation in Mosh Beach a few years ago, where they have a flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to put this antenna in the flagpole. And the flagpole was now going to be like a silo. It was just going to be this huge,
7 feet wide.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, no, you won't even notice it. Like, no, you can't see around it now. It's not a flagpole anymore. It's a silo now. So they didn't end up doing it because people said no.
I will say, I feel like they have gotten better at making them look like trees. Mm-hmm. Like, they're less noticeable. Like, when they were first trying to disguise them as trees, it was like, no, no, that's like 1,000 satellite dishes. That is not with, like, a branch every 12 feet, and it looked all Charlie Brown Christmas tree-esque.
Yes.
But there's been a couple of times where I've been like, that is a cell tower.
Right.
So just keep on with the trees thing.
Yes. Make it a fake tree.
Make it beautiful.
Don't make it a 3.5-story house that sticks out from the rest of the neighborhood, like the one they're trying to do in Montero. So, no, I'm against that one in Montero. Access to trails, beaches, and other recreational assets, 8. I gave that an 8 out of 11 because, again, we have lots of that there. I just want to make sure that it continues. Mm-hmm. And the Scarpa Ridge thing, I think, is great. So, cool. 9 on my list of importance. Impact of coastal erosion. And the reason I say that, 9, there's nothing to do about it. I'm sorry. We're not going to riprap the entire coast of California. It is what it is. Graceful retreat is what the Coastal Commission used to say about erosion. Like, you're just going to have to, like, deal with it. And
I think they call it managed retreat.
Managed retreat. Okay. Managed retreat. Yeah, I mean, managed means that you're doing something. But look what they've done on, what is it, Ocean Road there in Miramar. Supervisor Horsley, like, 3 or 4 times said, this is the last time we're pouring millions of dollars into this riprap in this road. But they just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The ocean's still there, and it's still a problem. And so that's why it's 9 for me of, like, I don't know what you can do about it. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to spend bazillions of dollars building dikes or whatever it's going to take. You're just going to have to let the ocean do what it's going to do and not, you know what, not build right up to the edge of it. Okay. That's just personal feeling. 10. Harbor access, safety, and capacity seems fine to me. So I don't think we need to put any additional concentration on that.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that that's based on Johnson Pier, right? Because I think the harbor's talked for a long time about how many millions it'll take to get Johnson Pier redone.
Seems like it's fine to me. I walk on it every day. Not every day, but also, like, I got a little bit of, as a person who lives in El Granada,
the harbor's not your
not
favorite.
Not really happy with the harbor district right now. So no, they get a 10. And then Larry DeYoung, who we mentioned earlier, and others are going to be quite upset with me about this. And Greg Diegas, friend of the show, friend of mine, fire risk, I gave it 11. 11. For fire risk. Crystalline, do you want to take this survey?
I have a hard time with the survey because I think they all are important. Like, it would be hard for me to rank them because I can make a very solid case for why any one of them could be number 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Well, but of those 11, give me your number one. Here's the list. Give me your number one. I understand, like, it's hard to... I had a hard time, you know, like, some of these are like... Yeah.
So I think I would have to agree with you on the power outages.
So as your number one thing, like, let's fix this problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as the, you know, business, and then followed by your number two, you were very business-centric on this one. Because not only do... So power outages affect residents and businesses alike, right? Because especially people who are on medical devices and they need the power to stay on for, you know, their air oxygen pumps and those things.
Hey, when I'm spending $500 a week on groceries, I don't want them spoiling either.
Yes, that is true. We have had restaurants actually go out of business when they lost $25,000 in food because of a 4-day power outage.
Right.
And insurance wouldn't cover it because they did not call it an act of God. That is a true story. And so I would say power outages would be definitely number one. I do want to recognize that they have gotten better in certain areas. Like, when I first moved here, my recollection was the coastside was essentially one ginormous grid. So it was like everything went out. And now it seems to be more like 2 or 3 grids. So definitely the North Coast and South Coast get hit the hardest.
Oh, yeah.
They've definitely seemingly spent the most time hardening Half Moon Bay which does not necessarily come across as fair. But, like, the fact that Kenyatta Cove and Pescadero are on the same grid seems wildly, like, not okay. So I do think that that needs to, but I will acknowledge there has been incremental, betterness over the last couple of years. Yeah, and then the internet access. Every single business, every single child who has to do things for school.
Oh, good point.
You know, yeah. Needs internet access. The pandemic made that even more so because, you know, when the kids couldn't, you know, that was when it was shined a light on how many kids didn't have internet at home and how much it affected them.
For that topic, whenever I see an Xfinity truck in the neighborhood, I get a little PTSD. I woke up this morning, looked out the kitchen window, and there's an Xfinity truck at the end of the block. And I said to Mrs. Truthmaker, oh, no. Like, what? No, because whenever the Xfinity truck is in town, suddenly internet out for a few hours or more.
Yeah. And then lastly, I think I would agree number three would be the sewer system. I know that it needs a lot of work. I know the water systems are constantly also getting upgraded. Just with the, you know, lawsuits and the highlights and the fact that many of them are GPAs and this and that, which makes infrastructure upgrades even more difficult because there's too many cooks in the kitchen and all of that. And then the sand plant needing to move at some point because of where it's located now. Like, that is all stuff that does not affect us necessarily today. But, you know, 10 years from now, there's going to have to be some really hard discussions about the sand plant. And so the fact, if they could start thinking about that today and actually make true movement versus just talkative movement on what is going to happen to Sam, that would be good.
Okay, well, that's interesting that we aligned on. I mean, I think they seem kind of obvious, and these are co-side issues. It asked as a fill in the blank, like, anything else, and I put in, yes, a continuous off-highway multimodal paved bike path from Miramontes Road to Pacifica. Mm-hmm. So off the highway, just a painted thing that goes all the way from Miramontes to Pacifica. That is critical infrastructure needed on this coast side that we do not have. What was not in this list or available to comment on would be infrastructure things like a performing arts center, a community swimming pool, these kinds of things, which are also infrastructure, but maybe second tier in terms of, like, not critical to daily life like sewage or drinking water or electricity.
Yeah.
Okay, but still stuff we'd like to see. Okay, so I hate to do it, but I got to go out of town again. We're on the college campus tour. So I will be gone again next week, and you will be here with Brad the Dad Larson.
Negative.
No.
You did not get the text message.
I did not what?
Dad is not available, but equally awesome guest.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I will be here with Michelle Dragony.
I'm a little envious because not every time, but you get to be on the show with Michelle, and, you know, I haven't seen Michelle in a while. We're going to have her on as a guest when we're both here, and she's here, too, because she's a great authority on Coastside stuff and a great person to have on the show.
But in the meantime, she's mine.
I know, and I'm a little, like I said, I'm a little envious of that, but it's great for the show, so, and the Coastside. So, all right, next week, Crystalline and the coastal butterfly, Michelle Dragon. Don't miss that. The week after that, we're trying to get Jim Sullivan and Brandon White from the Half Moon Bay Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Council on to talk about this scourge of e-bike situation, right? The scourge of e-bikes. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have a great week. Crystalline and Michelle will be here next week on Coastal Windage, the talk on the coast.